Today we are beginning a series, a new series. We'll leave the book of Psalms for now. And we are starting with Hebrews, the epistle of Hebrews, chapter 1. And it is called or known, one of the titles of the book of Hebrews is the book of better things, better things. And we'll see that in just a moment. Let's read Hebrews 1 and verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. And this book of Hebrews is a book that we do not really know for sure who the author was. There's much debate about this. Some say it could have been the Apostle Paul, but there's no proof, definite proof of that. However, the letter does show much of Paul's theology, but we cannot be at all 100% sure that Paul wrote it. The arguments that some would use, they say, well, there are strong indications it could be Paul because it is written with such understanding to the Jewish people and not belittling them, ushering out the old and ushering in the new. And it's also written in such a way that the Gentiles can understand as well what is being written. So whether it was Paul or not, it is definitely a changeover from the old covenant to the new covenant, from Judaism to Christianity, and from the transition from law to faith and grace in Christ Jesus. And this double reach, when I say double reach, I'm talking about the Gentiles understanding it and the Jewish people understanding it. It's very helpful for us today, and we are able to understand. So the key that we must remember is that God, who hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So although we don't know who the actual physical author is, we know God hath spoken to us by his Son. And his Son is heir of all things. He's the lawful owner of all things. But not only is he the heir of all things, his Son is the creator of all things. So our subject today is going to be Hebrews, the book of better things. It's a rich letter presenting to the Jews that Jesus Christ is the Savior. It's an epistle of practical encouragement. It's encouragement to our souls. It teaches us, it comforts us, it's full of warning, and it's full of doctrine. So in this title that so many give the book of Hebrews, the book of better things, we see 13 better things in the first chapter. 13 better things that are headings for each of the subsequent chapters. So there are 14 chapters, and each chapter deals with one of these better things, truths that will cause us to marvel and love and wonder. I think of the old hymn that says, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. So as we are going to go through this book of Hebrews, we are going to exclaim, how marvelous, how wonderful, my Savior. Hebrews is a book of, this is why we call it a book of better things. It's a book of better revelation, superior revelation about Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, the better covenant. There it is again, a better mediator, a better covenant. Jesus Christ is a better high priest, and Hebrews is a book of a better sacrifice. So the old sacrifice could only cover sins, but the Lord Jesus Christ wipes away our sin, removes our sin, took our sin and nailed it to the cross. And all of this is established on better promises. So it's a book of better hope. And we see all these truths as we are going to study and go through this marvelous book. Now, the inspired writer is going to methodically present a strong case to the Jews. And he's going to set a glorious Savior before them. And he's going to give strong reasons why they should give more earnest heed to his words and not lest they should slip. So we are going to see the Savior all through these pages. These pages are, you could say it this way, are full of, pregnant with the Savior, superior, better, excellent, more perfect. And it's very important for us today, very important that, because there's so many in our day and age that believe such strange and wonderful things, the New Age people, the mystical religions, and even today, when people minister and witness to the Jewish nation, they find the book of Hebrews very useful and very simple to witness to Jewish people. They're able to share the gospel in a very kind and definite way with them. So this book is clear truth. In fact, if we grasp the truths of this whole book of Hebrews for ourselves, not in our heads, in our hearts, we will be able to answer anyone who knocks on our doors. You know, we can have Mormons coming, we can have Jehovah's Witnesses coming, doesn't matter who comes, but if the reality of Jesus Christ is real to us, we will have a definite answer, a persuasive argument to present. We will know what we are talking about. Knowing the supremacy of Christ, Christ furnishes us with solid and persuasive arguments in order to present him, to present Christ. So Hebrews is showing us clearly the superiority of Christ. He's the creator of all things. So if a person were to tell you, one of these people that argue with us about their faith, maybe they would say to you, well, you worship God, we worship nature, we worship the sun, we worship trees. Well, you can say to that person, you can answer and say, we worship the creator of all things. And we learn this from the book of Hebrews. We don't worship nature. That's just a created thing. We worship the one who created nature. And verse 2 tells us by whom and through whom the worlds, and not only the worlds, but all the ages were made. And we know that through the Lord Jesus Christ, the worlds were made. So not only did he make these things, not only is he the creator of heaven and earth and everything in the earth, but he is the sustainer of all things. In other words, all things, when you look up a reference to that, it says the universe, everything, seen and unseen, both seen and unseen. So he sustains. In other words, verse 3 tells us, upholding all things by the word of his power. He's more glorious than all things. The heavens can't even contain him. Heavens, all the heavens that we can see with our eyes, the sun, the moon, the stars, as far as we can see, it's too small to contain our Lord. He's greater than that. His glory is higher than the heavens. The earth certainly cannot contain him. All the nations are nothing. They are but a drop in the bucket. So from this rich and full book, we are able to share so much truth: salvation, deliverance, judgment, the work of the Holy Spirit, holiness, purity, perfection, the believer's status as God's sons. All of it is here. All of this we are going to see. So the writer of Hebrews points out very clearly the greatness of Jesus Christ for the Jewish people. And he greatly and rightly respects the prophets of old. He doesn't tell them, oh, Moses is nothing, forget Moses. He says, however, but we see that however great the prophets were, however exalted they were, however well known they are, not one of the Old Testament prophets shared in the deity with the Father. Not one of them. Not one of them were the express image of God. The writer of Hebrews acknowledges that God did speak by the prophets of the Old Testament. And we can read it in verse 1. In various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. So he's not saying that the prophets are nothing. He's saying, but there is one greater than the prophets. There's one greater than any prophet, and his name is Jesus Christ, the express image of the Father. Jesus Christ, the living Word. That is how he speaks to us. That is how he speaks to us now. I was sharing with somebody before the meeting, and we see people that they say to you, well, God spoke to me. I had a dream, or I had a vision, or I heard a voice, and the voice told me to do this or that. No, that's the old. The new has come in, and God speaks to us now through Jesus Christ. He is the living Word. God speaks to us through the Scriptures, and the Scripture is all we need to guide us. We don't need a dream. We don't need a prophet to tell us. The better prophet is here, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the living Word. That's how he speaks to us now. Greater than angels. Today, people claim to have a word from an angel. Oh, I've seen an angel. I had a vision of an angel. But there's one far greater who leads us and guides us and speaks to us by the word in our hearts. That's how he leads us. We have our faith in Christ Jesus, better and higher than any angel. And in Hebrews, now the writer of Hebrews is telling the Jewish people, no angel was called God's son. See, angels are lower than the Son. We see Jesus is begotten of the Father. He's far above every angel. He is the scepter of righteousness. We see that in verse 8. He's the one who laid the foundations of the earth. We see that in verse 10. And so an angel, Jesus, the one who speaks now to us through his word, is much higher and exalted than any angel. And he was and he is always the Son. He was always in eternity. He didn't become the Son of God when he was born of the Virgin. He was and is always the Son. He was and he is and he is to come. That's who we put our trust and faith in. In these chapter 1, the first 14 verses, they are a summary of what we're going to see in the rest of Hebrews. And we're going to learn about God's nature. We're going to learn about his gifts. And we are going to learn that everything that God did is perfect. We're going to understand that nothing is done in half measures. Nothing at all. Jesus Christ came to show us the Father. He came as a prophet. These are wonderful truths. But this was not the main mission he came for. This was only just part of what he did. Jesus Christ gave us his all. He gave us life. And he gave us complete salvation. And we're going to see the main work that the Lord Jesus did in verse 3. Hebrews 1 verse 3 tells us the main work that Jesus came to do. He came to purge our sins. He came to purge our sins. He was manifested to take away our sins. And in him was no sin. He didn't come to take half of our sin away. He bore our sin on the tree so that we should live unto righteousness. That is 1 Peter 2 and 24. Well, you say to me, that doesn't explain that he bore all our sins. Well, let me tell you that even if you had even one little tiny sin in you, you would not be righteous. So he must have removed all of our sins in order to make us righteous. But if you want it in clearer words, in the book of Colossians chapter 2, the scripture says, having forgiven all your trespasses, having, verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. So he bore all our sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not do half. He did all. He did all. He gives us peace. We see that he gives us peace. And we know that Jesus Christ is perfect. Absolutely perfect. The scripture calls him the Prince of Peace. He gives us his peace. My peace I give unto you. So if a perfect Jesus gives us his peace, that peace is perfect, perfect and complete. He grants us abundant life. And that is life that is to the full. And overflowing. That's what abundant life is. It's not half life. He gives us life in abundance. And he gives us rest, not just for a short time, but eternal, everlasting rest. Even in eternity, it will never, ever finish. So this, the great and the mighty one, who spoke, reveals all things perfectly, perfectly. I'll read the verse 1 again. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in the past time to our fathers by the prophets, has in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So this is more certain than any prophet. This living word is more certain than any prophet. This is God speaking, God himself. And as the New Testament says, he hath kept the best until last. Remember the parable at the wedding feast? The best. The Lord is giving us the best at the last. And we clearly see that it's by his Son that God has spoken. By his Son, God has spoken. So after the book of Malachi, there was such a silence. But now the eternal, or this silence, is broken. And we now have revelation. And these first four verses, they give us a wide view of Christ. They give us a doctrinal view. And we're not just looking at these verses to gain an academic understanding or to gain more knowledge. Yes, it's good to have knowledge and want knowledge in our, but we should not just want knowledge in our heads. We should want knowledge in our hearts. Knowledge that will make us doers of God's word, not hearers only. So in Hebrews, we are seeing Christ. We are seeing Christ Jesus, beholding him, learning of him. And we are seeing the holy and the pure and the tender good shepherd. Christ, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So as we are going to see Christ in all these verses, we are going to receive wisdom. We're going to receive knowledge. And as we see Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, as we see Christ, but we all with open faces beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the more we're going to see Christ, the more we're going to be changed. The more we're going to become conformed to his image and transformed into his image. Do you know, and I know you know it, the more time you spend with Jesus Christ in his presence, the more you will reflect his glory. The more you will reflect. And we see this in Acts 4:13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That they had been with Jesus. The more we are fellowshipping with our Savior, the more people will marvel and take note that we have been with him. Oh, can they tell that we have been with him? Beholding Christ, our minds are renewed. And we understand that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The more we behold Christ, the more we understand his will for our life. We are renewed. We grow in grace. The more we see and the more we know, we will be more like him, growing in grace and growing in knowledge. And knowing Christ is more than, that's what we need more than anything. We need to know him more than anything else. He is the Holy One. He is full of truth. And this is what this is the reason we are embarking on this study, that we may see Christ in all these pages. I want to tell you another important truth on seeing Christ. Remember in Isaiah chapter 6, well, he saw the glory of God. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw the train of the Lord filling the temple. And what did he say? He said, "Woe is me. I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord." I'm not talking about us seeing the Lord in a physical way. I'm talking about seeing the Lord with spiritual eyes, seeing His truth, perceiving and understanding His truth. And when we do that, we will see how holy He is, how I need to turn from my... I will cry out like Isaiah, woe is me. There will be repentance. There will be a desiring to live near to the Lord. So knowing God results in a life that worships Him. Knowing God results in a life that is surrendered to Him, that loves Him, that seeks Him wholeheartedly and puts Him first. And this is the secret to lasting life, and this is the secret to honoring the Lord, putting Him first, putting Him first. We know the Bible verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So as we are going to study this book, I reiterate, we are not looking for more and more information. We are looking to know Christ. We are looking to be strengthened with the Lord. So this greatness of our Lord and Savior, simple words, our English or Swahili or vernacular words, they could never describe His greatness. He, our Lord, is far above even our best description, using our best words. And the words of Hebrews, this book of Hebrews, they call us to come and see. They say, come and marvel. Come and adore. And what a privilege to have Jesus Christ who shows us the Father. Jesus Christ who reveals to us the Father. Without Him, we couldn't know the Father. We could never even know anything about the Father. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So only Jesus Christ is God. And only Jesus Christ can reveal the Father to us. He came to reveal God to us. He came to make visible what was invisible. He came to make approachable what was inapproachable. You cannot approach the throne of grace without having been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ made the throne approachable. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging the persecuted Jews. He's encouraging them. He's saying, think of the better covenant that you have. Think of the better sacrifice that you have. But it is also an exhortation for us, for each of us. Let me tell you what these Jewish believers were experiencing. The Jewish believers came under heavy persecution because they had left the temple and they had believed in Jesus Christ. They had rejected the counsel of the Jews, the Jews that had crucified Christ, and now they were severely persecuted. They suffered the loss of their possessions, even loss of their homes. They suffered physical abuse. Some of them were even killed. And this didn't just start at this time when the book of Hebrews was written. Even 30 years previous to this, approximately 30 years, there was Stephen. Stephen began to take the side of the Messiah, and the Jewish leaders were outraged, and Stephen was stoned to death. So this persecution had been continuing a long, long time. And now, because of this pressure of persecution, the Jewish believers may have been tempted to go back to their old ways, back to the old covenant, and renounce Christianity. But the writer of the book of Hebrews makes it very clear, Christ is better. Christ is superior. He's better than the prophets. He's better than angels. And he's exhorting these Jewish believers, hold fast onto your faith. Don't go back. Don't go back. And that's the message to the Jewish Christians. What you have is better by far. What you have is superior. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. You have a better covenant. You have a better high priest. And God's message to these Jewish believers was to hold fast the truth that they had come to understand. And it's not just a message to them. It's a message to us as well, to hold fast to the truth that we have. The better things, all these better things that are spoken of, are the greatest treasure that we possess. No other treasure can be compared to it. And I may not have money. I may not have position. I may not have power, may not have silver, I may not have gold, I may not have a big house, I may not have any house, but I may not even have good health. But what I have is so much more valuable. What I have is I have eternal life. I have my sins forgiven. I have a future. I have a hope. I know that I shall dwell with him in his glory forever and forever, in his very presence where every tear will be wiped away. I'm blessed beyond in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1 and verse 3. So he's saying, remember this, look to this. The writer of Hebrews is saying to these persecuted ones, remember this. Remember who it is that has redeemed you. Whatever hardship you are facing, whatever storm and difficulty we have, we know that belief in Jesus Christ is the very best religion that there is. There's no other belief system that even comes anywhere near Christianity. Christianity is the only religion where we have a Savior, one who washes our sins away. And the others, if you want to put it this way, they are just hirelings. They are not the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. All others are hirelings. He's saying to the Jewish leaders, the Jewish Christians, don't go back to those old leaders to forsake Christ for comfort. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yes, I know you don't like the persecution, but if you forsake Christ, it's like forsaking gold for gravel, diamonds for dirt, substance for shadows. Don't do it. Don't do it. The writer of Hebrews is saying, don't forsake eternal life for mere earthly comfort. Don't do it. So in these first few verses, it's been a summary, a doctrinal section, which clearly shows how much better faith in Christ is than the law, how much better Christianity is over Judaism. And we could say that it's using picture language. And to say this, let me explain what I mean. The sun has risen in brightness and in its full glory. It is better than the night sky with the stars and the moon. Now the brightness of glory has come. The rising of the sun reveals the clear reality of the greater glory in Christ Jesus. So God spoke at sundry times, not once or twice, but many times from Abraham to Malachi. And now he speaks through his son. God had been silent, but now he speaks. Verse 2, we know it, we've read it, hath in these last days spoken. He has spoken in these last days to us. So in closing, this book of Hebrews is a book of better things, but not only better things. It's known, as we come to it later, there's a whole chapter on it. Chapter 11, the book of faith. The chapter of faith. It is also known as the book of faith. It's having faith in the revealed word of God. Now we are in the gospel age, the age of grace, the age through faith in Jesus Christ, where God spoke finally and clearly to us by his Son. That's where we are now. And he is the only Son, the begotten of God. He is the only authorized one to speak. Jesus Christ is the authorized one to speak on God's behalf. And what has been revealed to us is settled and established forever. It does not change. We see that in verse 12. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. And we see it in chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's no new revelation. There's no new way of salvation. There's no greater announcement than the fulfillment of this speaking which is spoken of here. In Revelations chapter 19 and verse 10, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, the last part of that verse. So this testimony that we are hearing is the spirit of prophecy, the vital breath, the inspiration of all inspired preaching and interpretation of the divine will and purpose of God. If we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have everything. His word, his vital breath, that's all we need. That's all we need. It's more than enough. So I close with the words found in the next chapter, Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Have we heeded these things? That is the question. Do we know the better way? Do we know Jesus Christ? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Oh, neglect not. Neglect not. Come in prayer to the Savior today. Come to him. Ask him for his blood to wash your sins away. Come and receive eternal life. Amen and amen.